Okay, well, I've got Ali with me. We thought you guys enjoyed the audio wrap-up of the Copper Basin so much that we'd do it again for the Two Rivers 200. So the first question, Ali, is, I guess, in recent Two Rivers races, you've kind of won them, or second or third, and you've been up there, and this was a bit of a change of pace for you, this race. Was that intentional? Or?
Well, I mean, I would love to win every race, but sometimes it's not possible, it's not feasible to put a quote winning dog team into every race, especially when we at SB Kennel, we conscientiously try to give every dog a chance to race. So instead of taking that, you know, like the Copper Basin team that I had, or Alan's Copper Basin team or something, we decided to shake it up a little and really do a mix and match of dogs for this race. So honestly, you know, I was hoping to still, I don't know what you call it, be competitive, but it was very clear that with some of, we'll call them question marks, who are younger dogs who haven't experienced as much, I was only going to be able to push them as hard as they would allow me, and we didn't know what that would be. So yeah, so it was a different race for me. I was clearly not going to win, especially with some of the really, you know, really fast and talented dog teams in that race. Will Rhodes and Lance was very, really talented this year. Richie Beattie has been training at a really high speed in Two Rivers. So that was the way it was.
So the conditions changed significantly from what you'd been training on. So what impact did that have on your team?
That was fantastic. I guess I'll use the word fantastic. Really interesting situation for every dog team in this race. In that Two Rivers, we had spectacular trail conditions throughout November and December and the first three weeks of January, but the trail conditions were basically groomed, hard-packed snow trails, and the dogs had very little resistance, so they could travel at 9 or 10 miles an hour without any resistance, and that's probably how they were used to running. So the fact that it snowed in the mountains on that first leg, honestly, it was upwards of, you know, 6 or 8 inches of fresh snow, powder, on these trails. So the dogs really had to use some different muscle, and their muscle memory, you know, it was really set up for fast, hard-packed trails. So I think it was more challenging physically on a dog the first leg, and mentally for a dog, especially a Two Rivers dog, on the second leg.
So do you want to go through your team kind of one by one, tell us how each of them did and what you were expecting of them, and if anybody surprised you? Do you want to maybe start with you did have a couple of experienced leaders up there. Start with them.
Sure, yeah. Well, definitely. I wanted to go into this race with two leaders that I knew would easily be able to finish a 200-mile race without any complications. And so that was Sparky and Chipper, and both of those dogs just came off the Copper Basin third place team. They have super endurance, strength, happy energy. Both of them are pretty happy dogs, and little Chipper is about as confident as you can get. We don't often run her in lead, but she's a very talented lead dog. You know, as a young dog, she ran in lead for Alan on Iditarod for 500 miles. So really, I wanted Spark is kind of my seriously steering wheel and inspiration, and you know, he did so well for Iditarod for me last year that he was perfect this race. Always happy, always ready, perfect commands. And then little Chipper, I like her up there, and I think we need to run her up there more often, just because she kind of she'll play you. She's smart and sassy, and she'll do what she wants unless you really kind of are like, no, Chipper, you'll do what I want. So you kind of got to keep your finger pressed down on her a little bit, or, you know, she'll run off on a different trail because she wants to. But anyway, both of those two were perfect, and I ran them in lead for 200 miles.
You also had a bunch of two-year-olds.
I did.
You said at the start of the race that this season is the season of two-year-olds at Aspie Kennel. So, yeah, you had a bunch of them, Coffee and a golden harness. Tell us about them.
Yeah, so I think there were 6 two-year-olds on that team. I think we'll start with the Coffees and the two little twins, Sanka and Bean. Sanka is an up-and-coming leader, so I ran her in swing for quite a bit of the race. Every once in a while, she gets a little overwhelmed, so I did pull her back periodically over the race. I think I pulled her back into the middle of the team. But she is a loper. She's really driven. She likes to lope. She's got a lot of speed. She likes to look down the trail, so you'll see her jumping up in the air when she's not in lead to see what's going on in front of her. Totally dedicated, strong at the end. We'll see her in lead in the future. And then Bean, pretty much her twin, except her eyeballs or her coloration around her eyes is different. Bean's a little trotter. I like to keep her towards the rear of the team. She's a little spark plug, just chugs along, puts a lot of energy into her tug. And for that reason, she did get tired at the end. She really was strong throughout the entire race, except for the last 5 miles of the race, when I could tell her tug line was no longer tight. She was really downright tired. Nothing is physically wrong with her. So I actually put her in the sled for the last 5 miles of the run. I didn't want her coming across the finish line, quote, dog tired and exhausted. So she got in the sled. She got a ride. She did not appreciate it. And I didn't appreciate it when she busted out of my sled bag and ripped another zipper. So Wendy promises she can fix another zipper at Aspie Kennel. But, yep, we'll see how that goes. So that was Sanka, Bean, Perky. Perky's a phenomenal dog, and his name is quite fitting. He's always happy. When we're stopping, he's loud. He doesn't want to stop. When we're going, he's enthusiastic. He charges into his harness. He's a tall, leggy guy, especially considering his sisters, Sanka and Bean, are little midgets. He did great. I could just tell coming into the Pleasant Valley store checkpoint, he had a little bit of a head bob, and what that means is something on his foot is wrong. He has ice in his booty, or he has a sore, or he's a cramp, or something like that. So that's when you stop, you check their booties, you make sure, you know, nothing's wrong with their booties, and you rub down their muscles. Well, it seemed to be a little more than that. I think he might have stepped in a hole, maybe twisted his wrist a little bit. I had the veterinarian look at it at the store checkpoint, and she actually gave him Arimidol, and we sent him home early. He's spunky and happy right now, so the future is bright for Perky.
Then a couple of golden harnesses.
Yeah, so we've got brother and sister combo, Chevy and Hefe. And, you know, Chevy, I dropped, left at the Copper Basin. And I stretched her out after the Copper Basin on a short 10-mile run. She looked happy. She's been living in this pen right next to the puppies, playing constantly. A lot of energy. I really didn't think anything was wrong with her. I just thought maybe, you know, she had a cramp or something from Copper Basin. So I ended up trying to take her again on this race. And she ran perfectly for 35 miles. But at mile 36, she ended up getting this cramp or something in her right shoulder again. So we're going to have to look into that more, see if it is actually a cramp or if maybe she's kind of some kind of little muscle soreness on her right tricep maybe. Anyway, she's back in the pen playing with puppies obnoxiously, so we'll just keep watching her and see what's that issue's about. Hefe, awesome, he did it. You know, he did not finish the Copper Basin, so this was his second chance at a race. And holy cow, I'm pretty happy with him. He went through some phases of, oh my God, this is kind of hard. But I ran him next to Five quite a bit, who, honestly, Five doesn't take any slack from anyone. So I think Five nagged him a little bit when maybe he started feeling sorry for himself. And when I was sleeping at the Angel Creek checkpoint, I slept in a sleeping bag right next to the dog team. And I heard a little bit of growling once in a while. I'm pretty sure it was Five telling Hefe to quit sleeping on his head. So those two ran together.
Cool.
I might drive for a minute here. I don't have great traction.
Okay, we're back. You also had the Four Brothers on your squad.
I know. How cool is that to have three-year-old brothers on the same team? Yeah, that was super fun, kind of intentional. I thought it'd be cool to run all four of them together. So, starting with Scooby and Five. You know, both of them just finished the Copper Basin with me. I kind of wanted to, how would you say, one-up them. Like, kind of see if they could do a 300 or a 200. And that's kind of a stepping stone to Yukon Quest Iditarod. So, they looked phenomenal. They both have a lot of energy. They're learning how... So Five's issue is he's a big dog. He's a big dog who needs to eat a lot in order to keep weight on him. He tries so hard sometimes that he gets tired, and then when you're tired, you don't necessarily want to eat. But he did well this race. He ate a lot better. He ate his snacks. He had a good stomach. So super pleased with him. And he's going to do some great things the rest of this year and further on. Scooby, holy cow, that dog is, he's come so far from last year. He's my cheerleader. Like, when we're leaving a checkpoint, he's barking. I have him in wheel. I just kind of, I like him back there. He's spunky, he's enthusiastic. He probably gets me excited, and so, you know, I like him just having him back there. And he looks good. He looks like a real husky. And he's got a big future for him this year too. So those two, kind of the 1-2 punch. And then Ernie, you know, Ernie has never been the strongest dog of that litter. He's always been a little softer, smaller, racier, puts a lot into his harness, to be honest with you, he really does. But the longer runs exhaust him, they really do. He puts too much into it, he gets really tired, he sleeps quite hard at checkpoints. I have to conscientiously make sure he eats, because sometimes he's a little too tired to eat, so I might stop on the trail and feed him. So I'll claim Ernie's a little bit high maintenance. He did it. I'm super pleased he did it. He's certainly not looking at jumping on the Yukon Quest team in the next 2 weeks, but let's give him a chance. He needs a little rest after this race, and then we'll see, you know, what race is up next on his agenda. And then the biggie, Rodney. Rodney is by far the most talented dog out of that litter. And he had, as I mentioned, I think, in an earlier post, he had some tendonitis earlier in the season. And that's pretty much because Rodney is nonstop energy. He really is ADD. And but his tendonitis seems to have gone. We treated it with a lot of compression wraps and algebra, all that kind of thing, some liniments. And throughout this race, I wrapped his area where his tendonitis was as well. And honestly, I think he's good to go, which is super exciting, because Rodney is, he's a cheerleader times two. He's a cheerleader for himself. He can't control himself. He circles in near his doghouse. He circles in his harness. I mean, probably the hardest part for my poor handlers was keeping track of how tangled Rodney was going to be with himself or with his paired dog. He's ready to go all the time. He's ready to eat all the time. He is a really good dog. So we're very excited about him being 100% after this 200-mile race.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you had Cayenne.
Oh, I did. I'm super in love with Cayenne this year. She's really doing it, and I'm pleased with that. That really makes me smile from within, because the last few years she's tried her hardest, and her hardest hasn't worked out for us. And this year I really feel like she's got another level, and she's 100% physically, so that's great. Mentally, she's kind of smart. She knows where every single turn is in Two Rivers, and the second leg of this race was, as I mentioned earlier, mentally challenging on a sled dog who lives in Two Rivers. And why I say that is because the individual who put this second leg in did not think about the mental effects of circling around kennels.
And who was that individual?
That was, will remain unnamed.
Okay.
Otherwise people will throw rocks and sticks at her. Anyway, so Cayenne did have quite a mental hurdle, and she did not like running about 3/4 of a mile past the kennel three times. And three times in the second leg, and then three times in the fourth leg. But after she surpassed that hurdle, she was still tight in the end. And I had her up in swing again. I didn't bump her in lead, but I thought about it. So that's pretty cool.
Cool.
So anyway, Cayenne, super excited about it. She's my spicy little dog.
Nice.